And it's the Great Debate.
Oh, it is. It is. Healy, you all right, bud?
Yes, sorry.
Everybody
coughing
okay?
I don't know this guy.
Guys, I'd like to just get right into it, but before I do, I want to announce that what we're going to do today and for the next couple of weeks is we're going to do a new format called Bring'ems.
What?
Bring'ems?
Bring'ems.
Bring'ems.
What are Bring'ems? Bring'ems are where one of the guys brings the topics.
Whoa.
Oh, that's simple enough.
So I'm holding a sheet of tops from Davis.
I have not seen these tops.
You have not? Only Davis and I have seen the tops.
Wow,
these
I brought
are Dave's
them. Okay. So you have like your favorite like plus five on your Bring'ems week, I would imagine.
Yeah, you've got a there's a spread for
I
sure.
I mean, I just kind of wrote some stuff down if we're being honest.
Do we come here to talk about Bring'ems?
No,
or
we're
no?
here to debate.
Whoa.
Here's the thing about this top. I'm going to leave up for grabs who takes the pro. So I'm going to read this out.
Okay.
And then you guys can decide.
It's going to be easy. We'll just ask which side is more life-affirming.
Exactly. I have a feeling that Dave might take the pro.
Okay.
But anyway, topic up for debate. Enough with the avocados already.
Wow. Okay, well.
Healy, who do you think should take the pro? I defer to you. I'll take either side.
It's a very, to be enough with is a Dave attitude.
So enough with the avocados already. Yes, it's become hacky to point out that avocados are on everything and that avocado toast is like millennials have taken over with avocado toast and that it's too much of a thing now and you can get avocados everywhere on anything. But there's a reason that that has permeated the sort of cultural landscape, and that's because it's true. Avocados are on too many things now. They're not that great. They're kind of mealy. They rot so easily. This obsession with avocados has to stop. Enough with the avocados already.
Okay, this is a very flawed argument for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's really like kind of localist, even like classist. Like, yeah, here in California, there's avocados all over the place. And in some sort of hipster communities, avocado toast is a thing. But most of the world has not gotten access to the delicious avocado, which
everyone Dave, in this day and age, everyone has access to it. Avocados are all over Instagram. They're
Dave,
all over
level,
Twitter.
You're just talking about hipster reporting sites.
Well, Healy,
your
for better or worse,
is, by the way,
for better or worse,
out of
we
control.
Do. We are in the sort of, I don't think it's hipsters,
this
by
isn't
the way.
A,
yes, is it a Southern
Dave,
California
listen,
thing? More than other regions, sure. But avocados still,
you're having a very
if you
serious,
go to Texas,
actually,
Florida,
I
all
I actually
those
want
places.
To pull away from the topic to say I think you're really having a problem with interrupting lately, and it's gotten out of hand. I think it happens to a lot of TV writers. They're in busy, noisy rooms, and they're used to just like talking over each other. Now, if you let me finish my sort of opening argument, avocados are amazing. They're nourishing. They have kind of a fatty texture, but they're also green, and they have some of that celluloid goodness. Yeah, they're hard to keep fresh and to get at exactly the right time. That only makes them more precious and more interesting as a fruit. I think more people should be getting avocados. We should be working harder to get avocados to people outside of California, outside of the Instagram cool guy enclaves, and into the hands of regular Americans.
Am I allowed to speak?
Go ahead.
Regular Americans have plenty of access to avocados, and what I'm talking about is, I mean, of course regular people can get avocados. They're not ludicrously expensive. You can get organic avocados. You can get Haas avocados. There's actually like a range
listen
of price points
for avocados.
Listen to
yourself talking about organic avocados as though this is like everybody in the country. There's like food deserts in this country all over the place where you can't even get a good grocery store, let alone a fresh or organic avocado.
Healy, for better or worse, we're the Great Debates and our listeners are, you could judge for yourself whether our listeners are more or less likely to be in a food desert. I would venture to guess that our listeners and our audience have great access to avocados, and if anything, are more sick of avocados being sort of like available on every menu item than they are thinking to themselves, what are these guys talking about? I wish I could get my hands on
we
a damn avocado.
We don't just debate for our listeners. When we're debating a topic, it's not implied that we're only talking about Great Debates listeners. We're talking about the entire world.
Enough with
the avocados is not at all the case. Maybe it's the case here in the sort of hipster valley where you live, but it's not the case in Ohio. It's not the case, I'm going to guess, in Texas. It's not the case across Canada where many of our listeners live.
I mean, I've been to Texas recently. Of course, it's the case in Texas. Everywhere in
Were
Texas.
You in Austin?
What's that?
Were you in Austin?
I've been in Austin. I was in Houston. I've been in multiple. I've been in San Antonio in Texas. They've got avocados everywhere. Avocado is on them. By the way, like the idea that like this is a little hipster bubble or something that I'm talking about. The fact of the matter is that that sort, like you could call it hipsters or not, but that's an enormous sector of the population. Urban 20 to 40 year olds, if you will. Like that's millions and millions of people. And they're pushing the avocado agenda as much as anyone. I agree with you. But it's not like they're keeping it with, it's not like it's only in, you know, fucking Frogtown that you have to go to get avocado toast. Every place in Los Angeles, which is the second biggest metropolitan area in the country, has avocados on every menu item. And in supermarkets, there's tons of avocados. And everyone in their homes has avocados. Enough with the avocados already.
Deans.
Going with Healy.
Oh, man.
Wow. And I'll tell you why. It's because sometimes you don't, it's not about making the best points, but it's about taking the high ground and monopolizing the clock and making your opponent react to you. And then just the listener comes away with a feeling like that's a winner. I don't think cool. on the wow. merits of the actual avocado debate, I thought it was kind of thin on both sides.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. We're not here to who's got the best points of the debate.
I've been working hard, actually, on being less reactive. I feel like if you're reacting in a debate, you're losing, right? If I'm just responding to something you brought up, usually I'm on weaker ground.
I mean, the whole point of debating is to make arguments and then destroy the other person's argument. Half of debating is reacting.
Look, debating...
Maybe I'm playing the wrong game with the wrong rules. I don't know what we are anymore.
Debating is winning.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, you could argue that it's my job to sift through all that and point out who made the best avocado
argument.
I would
argue that. But yes.
I don't know. I think there's sometimes like a guy walks into a room and says things in a certain way, and people nod their heads at him, regardless of what
sure.
he's saying.
In Trump's America, sure.
By the way,
it's
that
all
don't matter.
Meaningless.
A negative pro is the most difficult side to take in a debate. I'd advise that to all young debaters
Ooh,
out
that's
there.
That's interesting.
It's very hard to take the pro. You're starting, and you have to prove something, and you're taking a sort of negative take. Enough with the avocados already. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought I did better than you.
Are we out of the debate? Are we into?
Yeah,
I think we're
let's
in a host
get
chat.
Out of there.
We're
let's
in a host chat.
What's going on?
What?
Anybody? What's in people's lives?
You know, I want to tell you guys about something that happened to me earlier this week.
Yeah.
Actually, I was with my girlfriend Sally, and
yeah.
we were together. We were at the doctor's office for our first trimester for her first trimester screening.
Wait, what? Medina?
What?
Is this for real?
Yes, it's for real.
What
Medina
are we talking about?
Announcing on the great debates that he's having a little debater.
Yeah, a little debater.
Sally
oh,
and
my
I,
God.
Are expecting a little debater later
Medina,
this year.
Medina, my heartiest of Mazel Tovs. I couldn't be happy for you and Sally. This is unbelievable.
Bringing a new debater
man.
Into the world.
Holy shit, man. That's
it's
fucking
really,
fantastic.
Really
How's Sally
news?
Doing?
She's doing great.
Wow.
Yeah, she looks as beautiful as ever, if not more so.
Of oh. course. Of course she does.
Yeah, glowing, radiant.
Oh, my God. God, when are we due?
In December.
Christmas,
oh, Christmas baby.
Yeah, Christmas
it's a,
baby.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Oh my God. How about that?
What a lucky little kid.
And do you know a gender yet?
We do.
You do? Are you going to tell us? You don't have to.
It's a girl.
Oh,
little baby girl.
Little baby girl. And is she cis or do you not know yet?
Hmm?
Nothing. Sorry. man, that is fantastic. Medina, I feel a glow in the room. I feel like you two are going to be just about the coolest, best parents I
that
can imagine.
That is pretty cool yeah. place to come into the world with Dan and Sally.
We're pretty
Holy
psyched about
crap.
It.
Talk about a head start for a baby.
We hope we're going to do a good job.
Oh, man. I don't doubt it for a second.
It's very exciting, I have to tell
yeah.
you. You go in this dark room, and they put your woman's stomach up on the screen.
Yeah.
And you both watch television, and then the little thing in there waves at you, and you see the fingers and stuff like that. Very exciting.
And are you having some nerves? How are we feeling?
I'm feeling so great
Good.
About it.
Good.
It was, I will say that it was a surprise for us.
Uh-huh.
Not something we were trying to do, but we're both really psyched about it.
That's great.
What that happens, it, which is that like you find out and then you have, you know, depending on when you found out, somewhere around 8 months or so of time to kind of wrap your head around it and get ready.
Yes, that makes sense.
In most cases. So, you know, we're about a third of the way through that process.
Unbelievable.
That's really nice.
It's the best.
What a host shot.
I highly recommend
it. Like, just to peel back the curtain for a second, sometimes on the debates we, like, pretend that we're learning a topic or something for the first time when we actually know ahead of time. But this was genuine. We had no idea, man. This is, like, the greatest host chat surprise I can imagine.
I thought it would be a fun... Sally and I talked about it. We thought it would be a funny way to let you guys know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are do you have name picked out? You don't have to tell us. We've got some nominees.
We've got some good candidates. We have one that's a front runner right now. We'll see if it sticks.
Oh, man alive.
The first ever Great DaBaby.
Great DaBaby. That's right.
Do we have, what are we going to do about onesies? And do we have baby stuff for sale in our merch store?
The store needs some work.
All of our listeners out there who've experienced the trouble, you know, with the store, we're sorry about that. We're working on a better solution.
We are. But you could, here's the thing, the merchandise itself is great. You could go
that's
to great.
Yeah, it's great.
Go
merch.
To greatdebate69.com. You'll see a link for the merch store. And yes, we are going to use Medina's prenatal baby as an excuse to sell our merchandise.
Yeah.
But the merchandise is awesome. We're trying to figure out a different store solution, but it's everything is up and running and awesome, and there's a lot of good stuff.
You have a 1 in 10 chance.
Stop. It's great. It really is. It's not that there are problems with this. It's whatever. It's a whole thing.
Guys, on that note, I'm going to get us into the main event.
Wow, okay. Man, it's going
to be. I know it's overwhelming to have some great news, but like, let's put our shades on and get into it. I've got two potential tops from Dave's list of Brighams.
Okay.
And they are.
Brighams should be sponsored by Brighams.
Well, you have to explain to people what Brighams is.
Brighams is a local Massachusetts ice creamery.
Mm. Yes. It was a restaurant too, wasn't it?
There was at least one I remember.
There's a brick and mortar Brighams
in West Roxbury.
No, there's one in Needham, wasn't it?
Oh, that was Bergson's. Yeah,
I'm thinking of Bergson's.
Bergson's was beautiful. They had paintings of the history of Needham on the wall. Remember
they
that?
They did.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember about Bergson's is that we went there in like middle school and Brett Maddox was accused of stealing the tip that the previous diners had eaten, left there. And I was like, no, there's a misunderstanding. And I was naive and thought he didn't, but looking back on it, he must have. We got kicked out of Berks.
Brent, that's very wrong to steal a tip.
Brett. Yeah.
You learn those lessons in that time. My mom and stepdad are in Boston right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Attending the graduation of my youngest cousin from MIT.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A lot of good stuff
happening. Educated family.
Lane Kuhn is graduating.
What's she up to now?
She's going to go out and do environmental math.
Excellent.
She's got a crazy story.
What's her name?
Very smart lady. Elaine.
Congrats, Elaine.
Elaine C. Way to go, listener.
Grads and dads week.
Yeah, congrats to all grads.
Big part of Long June, grads and dads.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I've got two topics to select from.
Okay.
Yeah. Top number one. These are both a little bit movie related.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Top number one. Wonder Woman would have made more money if Hillary had won.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right.
What's the other one?
Top number two. This is Spinal Tap remains the funniest feature length mockumentary.
Okay.
Healy, which one do you want to do here?
I think we should do Wonder Woman.
Okay. Great.
It posits the most imaginary world. I'll take either side.
Okay. Great.
Which side do you want?
I want the con.
You want the
fascinating.
Con.
Yeah.
Dave King taking the pro. Wonder Woman would have made more money if Hillary had won.
I actually think we have sort of you have the less life-affirming take, I gotta be honest, because I think Wonder Woman would have made even more money if Hillary had won. Why? Because the feelings, the message of the movie would have resonated even more strongly with the American public, and that is love, peace, understanding, and the power of females. If Hillary were our president, America right now, and the world abroad, by the way, would even more be on board with the message of the movie. Now, did it make a ton of money? It absolutely did. Would people look, here's the basic thing here is that the movie itself is really good, and if Hillary had won, another point I'm going to throw out there is that I believe our economy might be even stronger. People would be in a better mood. People would be more likely to shell out a little bit of disposable income. Keep in mind, a family of four, you're talking about $50, $60 to go to the movies. Right now, Trump's disapproval rating is at an all-time high. People are less comfortable with our government than ever. In a climate where people are comfortable and happy and want to see the world that they live in reflected to a certain extent on screen, Wonder Woman does even better than it did. And that's why if Hillary had won, Wonder Woman would have made even more money than it did.
Okay, I've got basically 3 points I'd like to get through. First of all, I think that we need to take a step back and appreciate that Wonder Woman's success was like a moonshot, incredible, I don't want to say lucky because a lot of skill went into it, but like what Wonder Woman did was astounding. Wonder Woman is a big movie without any big star in it, a no-name star, and it made a huge, huge amount of money on its opening weekend, which is very, very rare, a rare special achievement. So it's in a million possible worlds, it's hard to imagine that many where Wonder World does that much better than it did. It was in the 99th percentile of how well it could have done. So that's pretty impressive. Like, if we're imagining running the tape back 100 times, in most of them, Wonder Woman isn't going to make as much money. So stop and appreciate the fact that Wonder Woman did an incredible performance as is. There aren't that many scenarios where it does much better. Now, second, we are in a time of instability and sort of national unease. And that's really a time when people love to go to the movies, lose themselves in the movies. That's a golden age of movies. World War II was a great time for the movies. The late 60s was a great time for the movies. Times of uneasiness are attracting people to fantasy worlds. If we had Hillary and the world was, you know, relatively stable, continuing on its neoliberal course, I don't think the attraction of wild fantasy worlds would be quite as appealing. Finally, the fact is that going to Wonder Woman became almost an act of resistance, of female empowerment. It was a show of solidarity, a cry for a better world where women are better represented in the cinema, and there are better female role models out there. I feel like that was coming out of one of the few positive things that's coming out of the Trump administration, I think, is people really checking in on their core beliefs, deciding what they want to support and empower. A lot of women were thinking, we want to support this movie with a female director that's got a strong message for women. And so in a way, I think I am on the more life-affirming side because I think one of the few good things out of the Trump administration is women rising up and saying, we're not going to take this anymore. There's not going to be another sex offender elected president. Like, we need to stand up, speak for ourselves. Sure. Going to see Wonder Woman is a small gesture in that direction, but it's absolutely a political gesture. And I think that had Hillary won, it would have had less of the invigorating effect on the female audience that drove Wonder Woman to such heights at the box office.
I think you're putting far too much emphasis on the political act of going to see a movie. The truth, and I think both of us would stipulate this, maybe I'm wrong, but I think both of us would agree that we're talking about a pretty narrow window of difference of how much money this movie would make if Trump or Hillary had been elected. And the idea that somehow, like, everyone's going to see this movie is like as if it were a ticket to the woman's Pride March or whatever that was called, is ridiculous.
Ask yourself, because I sort of felt that in my life. The women in my life were like feeling strongly about going to see Wonder Woman together.
I'm not discounting the idea that that exists. But what I'm saying is that like most people would have seen the movie regardless. What I would say to answer your this sort of like it's a political cause is I would say that one of the only things that is a larger motivator than resistance is being part of is sort of following the tide that's already taking place. And so if we actually had a woman president, and if women actually, like, were seeing this not as a sort of, like, fantasy, but as a fulfillment of what has actually happened, the powers, the sort of political power, those people who did go to see the movie for political reasons would be even greater in number. One other
clever
point of
argument.
Yours,
that's
thank you so much.
That's definitely the best you could have done with that. But nonetheless, I think, like, the fact is Hillary did not energize women in that way during the election. There's no reason to think having been elected, she would have had an even more energizing effect on women. They just didn't, despite her best efforts, women just didn't engage with her as a you know, profound feminist world changer.
No,
it
I'm
just
not
didn't,
saying that they have to.
Her attempts to make her align herself with that cause just didn't work. If she got elected president, I don't think there's any reason to think they would have worked any better.
I'm not saying that there was, that there would have been a one-to-one Hillary is Wonder Woman effect. What I'm saying is that, in much the way that if you've seen the movie, the Wonder Woman is able to defeat this old white guy Ares in the end of the movie, the climax of the movie. Just as so too had that would have already happened in real life, one would have felt so much, there would have been even larger word of mouth, sort of like a even larger swelling tide of positivity. I feel that that is a larger motivator than going to see a movie as an act of defiance or resistance.
I disagree.
One
I think,
other point I
think
have to
people
make.
Would have been like, this message is not that necessary. We don't really need
that's
to
absurd.
Support it at the box office. I mean, as you say, we're talking about a marginal.
Okay, well, you made another point here, which is that, like, this is somehow, this is a little off topic, I think, for you to bring this up, but the idea that it already is in the 99% success of. I think we're making a bit too much out of how well Wonder Woman has done. It did great, yes, but it's not the first superhero movie with a relatively unknown lead to go boffo at the box office, if you will. Like, no one really had heard of Andrew Garfield when he was Spider-Man. I couldn't tell you who the next Spider-Man movie, what his name is, but that movie's going to make $200 million. It's not like, what's his name in The Hobbit. Who's the lead of The Hobbit?
Martin Freeman?
Yeah. No, he's not a household name. That movie's making $1 billion internationally. Chris Pratt wasn't a household name when Guardians came out. It was one of the biggest movies of all time. This idea that it was like a as you called it, a moonshot, is pretty absurd. This is a like huge budget movies tend to make a ton of money at the box office. It's a pretty calculated move by the studios to at least make their investment back. And the idea that like they hit it out of the park with a 1 in a million female I actually think is a bit of casual misogyny on your part, if I'm being honest, where it's like somehow it all came together, this girl that no one heard of and a female director. Why didn't we expect this movie to do huge? I did. Why are you saying that this movie is somehow different than the Jurassic Worlds and the Guardians and the Spider-Mans and the Hobbits and the Lord of the Rings, which for the most part don't have $20 million actor paydays in them and don't have known directors in them and are still doing huge numbers? That's sort of a side point. I just think you need to be checked a little bit on that. But in
great point. I will take the check. However, what we're really talking about here is that like there just isn't that much more movie dollar to have been brought in. Like this movie did extremely, extremely well on its opening weekend. It's hard to conceive of worlds where it did dramatically better.
It's not
why
that hard
Hillary
at
Clinton
all.
Would have affected that is
Healy.
As yet to be shown in even the slightest way. While meanwhile, it I've only, shown several it, reasons why it actually would have worked. The
I
other
did
way.
Tell you, if I need to reiterate my argument, I will. Again, I feel that people would have felt more like basically, I think that the movie going public, there would have been a. First of all, people would have been more likely to go to the movies in general because people would have been happier, people would have been more comfortable, people
Again,
would not feel as threatened.
I think I'm pretty clearly debunked that that's when people go
you
to the movies.
You haven't debunked it, Healy. You've made your points against it, but you haven't actually debunked it. You
Let's
haven't
hear your
proven.
Closing statement.
These are all hypothetical arguments. My closing statement is this. Hillary, once again... I'm going to try to introduce a new point here because I've already made my points about why I think that if Hillary had won, people want to see something that has already happened as opposed to something that is a hypothetical event. They want to be reinforced in the idea that women love peace, understanding that these are wonderful things. And if Hillary were president, it would have been even more part of the zeitgeist. Time magazine would have Hillary and Wonder Woman on the cover of the magazine. Every newspaper, every publication, Hillary and Gal Gadot would be appearing on whatever, Oprah together or The Tonight Show together. All, imagine the crazy media coverage. Imagine the stories and the buzz about how it's the year of the fucking woman, finally. Hillary and Wonder Woman together. Again, I'm not saying that they're similar people, but number one at the box office, number one in the White House for the first time ever. It would have a multiplying effect instead of the story being like in a time of, you know, resistance and as an act of defiance, people are going to see this because Donald Trump is such an asshole, but we're still going out to the movies. It would be, I mean, I'm picturing a world not where Wonder Woman makes twice as much money, but $5 million more at the box office. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. That's the end of my closing statement.
Very tough week for Dave in Brigham's. I think he showed his talent for coming up with intriguing topics. However, I think he also showed his weakness for taking the pro. I think that most of Dave's argument in this debate was based in a fantasy world where Hillary Clinton was really galvanizing to people. But the fact is, we just had a demonstration that she was not. Despite her best efforts to be the figure that Dave wanted her to be, galvanizing women and rallying them, that just wasn't the case as a candidate. There's no reason to think it would have been the case as a president. I think as president, she would have faced a very divided nation. There would have been a lot of angry feeling on both sides. And I don't think that women would have rallied around her in quite the way that they did, rallying around the idealized figure of Wonder Woman on her own as a kind of FU to President Donald Trump. Again, I don't think that was most of the energy of the movie, but we're talking about a very slight marginal increase or decrease. I'm not seeing any evidence that this movie had a lot of room to do a lot better, or that President Hillary Clinton would have had anything to do with getting people to the cinema in a bigger way than the galvanizing, electrifying effect of being angry at the sex offender who is the president of the United States. So I just don't see it, Dave. I'm sorry.
I mean, whatever, man.
I'll tell you, I felt that both of you made these beautiful life-affirming arguments, and I kind of zoned out and started to daydream about the wonderful world that my daughter is going to get.
The takeaway. Your daughter is the winner.
Let's make sure that she's raised in a world where there's spirited debate.
I think we can do that.
That's the least we can do.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. Who knows, right?
I mean, I think I know. No, I don't think it's a who knows. I agree with my side.
Do you genuinely?
Yeah, I don't. I think that if Hillary Clinton were president, women would not have been mobilized to see Wonder Woman in quite the same way that they were. And again, I think that's like 2% of the box office, but it's a number.
I kind of think you're right, but I think that there's a chance that more. I don't know. Who knows? Literally, who knows? No one.
I think we'll also, like, know. You know, we'd love to live in the world. I would love to live in the Hillary world, but she, like, I think she would have had a challenging time as president.
A hard time.
Yeah, but also more people did vote for her.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she would have, it would have been less divided than if Trump were president.
I think she would be having a less challenging time than what the time that he's had.
He's having a bad time.
He's having a hard time.
Yeah, he's having a bad time. And even on election day, more people wanted Hillary to be president than Trump.
You know who's having a good time? Me at the debates.
Well, that's great. I'm having a great time, too.
So am I. So
this has been a good long June so far, I think.
I agree.
Listeners, support Dan Medina's daughter by visiting the merch store.
No, please. Yeah.
And email at us, tweet us.
Yeah, guys, we're Great Debate 69 everywhere, including Twitter and Gmail, our two favorite places for you to reach out to us. I really enjoyed this episode, as I always do. My thanks to my co-hosts, Steve and Dave, and all of you out there. Hope you're enjoying the summer, and we'll see you next week. I wonder how many times you've been had. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Ethan Edenberg. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the program is moderated by Dan Medina.